If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move on to another interesting one, another interesting confession that actually came out on live television just last week. Here's the situation, because if you're just tuning in, this is one of those stories that doesn't really sound real at first. Earlier last week, police and federal agents showed up at a quiet little home on Crestwood Court in Albany. They were there on a financial crimes warrant. Nothing violent, just suspicions about Social Security payments. Still going to an elderly couple no one had seen in years. Neighbors were told they'd moved to Germany. Plausible, until they weren't. Fast forward a day and crews are digging in the backyard. And by Wednesday, they uncover one set of human remains. Thursday morning, a second set. And then this is where it turns. Their son, Lorenz Kraus, walked into the local CBS 6 station, sits down for a full-on-camera interview, and calmly confesses to killing both of his parents back in 2017. This is after the bodies had been discovered. He knew. He told them. And as soon as the camera stopped rolling, police arrested him right there in the station parking lot. He's now charged with 2 counts of second-degree murder and 2 counts of concealment of a corpse, but he's pleading not guilty. And what you're about to see is the unedited interview that set all of this off. A man calmly detailing how he allegedly ended his parents' lives, buried them behind the house, and then lived off their benefits for years. We're going to play the full thing. It's not graphic, but it's deeply unsettling, and we'll talk about it as we go through all of this. What's interesting about all this, it's not necessarily a case where it appears to just be financially motivated. This seems to be what he believes to be Kevorkian-like, mercy killing. Now, you can have your opinions on that, and I understand that. But is this that? Is the story that he's trying to tell, the story that I think a lot of us think he believes, is it truly a mercy killing? Did he do it for the right reasons, or was he deciding to play God? You guys got a chance to check this out a little bit before we jump into the video. Just initial thoughts on this guy.
I think there's a lot of mental insufficiency here. And I just put into Claude, let's do a comparison between Norman Bates and this man.
Uh-huh.
Both involve parental murder. Both involve concealment. Krauss describes them as mercy killings, claiming my concern was for their misery. That was paramount to him. A bit of twisted logic, but there are some differences that Norman's psychology, it says, centers on fractured identity and assuming his mother's persona. So obviously it goes a little further down the rabbit hole, but that was the first thing I thought of was
he didn't show up to the TV station dressed as mother.
Correct. Exactly. But I felt some parallels as I was watching the interview that, wow, Norman.
There's vibes. Would this be a guy you'd go out and have a coffee with, like Stacey? Okay,
here's the thing. I was thinking.
Please don't say you find him attractive.
No, God,
okay,
no.
Okay, just double checking.
No, but as somebody who is recently single, thinking about getting into the dating pool and getting on apps, these people are out there.
Yeah.
You know, so you might sit down and have coffee with them, but, you know, three sips into your latte, get the fuck out.
I wonder how that story would go. You know, I wonder how it would, if it would be told in the, because I'm guessing the financial pieces wouldn't be in there. I could see it being told, yeah, you know, my parents, they were elderly, they entrusted me to help them pass on. And I'm going to guess it might be how it was spun. There's a lot of ways one could, I'm sure, try and spin this and justify it in his mind. Clearly, this happened in 2017, so he's had a damn near a decade to try and justify this, which he's attempting to do in this television interview. We're going to start watching it. We'll kind of pause as we go through. It's a dandy. Let's start watching the interview with Mr. Krauss.
All right, Lars. Well, thanks for sitting down with us. We really appreciate it. We'll get to the statement, but first we want to talk about the more recent event, actually the prior events and now the more recent events. Take me back to the summer of 2017. What happened to your parents?
My mother wrote me a note, which the police must have now, describing her walking across Whitehall Road. I mean, not Whitehall, Wolf Road. And she fell down on her face. And she had, when I saw her a week or so later, yellow and green, black and blue marks from this. And she wrote that down. And that was a situation that became a problem, because when elderly start to fall down, the time comes that they started, you know, beginning of the end. And my father also had cataract surgery when he lost his vision to double vision, so he couldn't be a he couldn't drive, so they were losing their independence and so forth. And my mother had a brother who had Alzheimer's, and my father had a sister who had Alzheimer's. They were both in nursing homes. My mother had a second sister who also had Alzheimer's. And you know, they put you in a bed, they put catheters into you, they, you know, they rip your teeth out to try to keep you, you know,
wait,
the whole nine yards. So
they,
this
rip
is in the back of my mind.
Out.
So you didn't want to see them deteriorate and go through.
They pull your teeth out?
Is this
he talking
a thing?
About like false teeth?
I don't know. I don't think they pull your teeth out.
No, they don't.
That doesn't seem right.
They pull your teeth out.
His view of reality is extremely skewed. I mean, obviously, you know, getting into this case, but some things are flying out of his mouth that seem really odd at this point. There's some huge red flags about this guy that reality is not the same for him as it is for us.
No, go ahead, Todd.
Some of what he's saying is not untrue, meaning that, you know, when elderly parents start falling down, that creates issues, blah, 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 sure. Alzheimer's. I get all that. And I think before we did the show today, I said to you guys, there's a little part of me that feels for what he's going through, because I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But to think that killing your parents is going to prevent them from having to deal with what it's like to go through the process of dying, a natural death, that's where, you know, he loses it right there for me. And this letter that he talks about that the cops have, and
yeah, She wrote it down. She wrote down she fell. So basically, he's qualifying the death of she fell and had, you know, some bruising, okay? And his dad has cataracts. Let's kill him.
Those are not reasons to do euthanasia for a human. And there is medical aid in, was it medical aid in dying? It's called MAID. Sure.
Yeah.
And Canada does quite a bit. I wouldn't say quite a bit, but they do it more than we do in this country. But I've looked into it. There are some states where you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have reasons. It isn't just, I've got cataracts now. Time to go. It's not like that.
Well, yeah. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of documentation that mom and dad wanted him to asphyxiate them with a pillow either. Exactly. As their way out. But it feels like this guy is kind of catastrophizing things a bit in his life. He's seen the trauma. He's been traumatized, it sounds like, by his sister's dying. We're going to hear about that in a moment. And what she went through, it sounds like he had some other relatives. He's had unpleasant experiences. Yeah. In nursing facilities. Okay, sure. And it sounds like there's some cognitive distortion going on here of thinking, okay, well, because A and B mean this, then it must mean C, and mom and dad, this is, you know, they're going to start ripping their teeth out and all these horrible things, so I better save them. I feel like there's like a savior complex going on. Mm-hmm. Here and kind of a God complex. But I don't know that he's aware of it. And let's keep watching and see where it goes.
Through that, did you?
I'll mention, you know, the police know about my sister and having to see my sister die from cancer. I was 16, she was 14. Go through 9 months or so of, you know, the agony of cancer.
So did you kill your parents to as a mercy killing to put them out of their misery? You can be honest with us.
I know. I'll leave that for the statement that I put on your website.
Statement doesn't mention that.
I know.
Not mention that.
Right.
I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
What did you do to your parents?
I buried them in their property.
You buried them in the backyard of that house in Albany.
Right.
At what point did they become deceased?
I need to see a calendar. Sometime August 2017.
And did they die at your hand? That's the question.
Right. I'll have to leave it for that statement.
But that's not in the statement. And I think it's important for people to know what happened to your parents.
Right.
They were your parents. You loved them. They were deteriorating. What did you do? Don't tell me you're going to leave it to the statement, because it's not in the statement.
I know.
What did you do to your parents?
My goal is for the American people to recognize that there's 40 million boomers. They're all going to go through the same kind of problem. Mm. It affects all of us, and we need to widen up the law so that people can deal with these kind of problems in a humane way, in a whatever way that people can deal with. And I did my duty to my parents.
So you ended their lives.
I won't.
You're saying that without actually saying that word. I want to hear you say that word. Yes. Ended their lives.
I have to
give them mercy, you're saying.
I have to plead my Fifth Amendment rights until I can disclose it with my statement there.
Did you have any concern that whatever you did was wrong?
I would never have done such a thing if I ever did it, knowing it's wrong.
So you believe what you did was right. You believe taking your parents' lives was the right thing to do for their sake.
If I did it, absolutely that.
But you did do it. You're saying to us that you did it.
There's a statement there that we'll deal with more later, if you want to know.
Lawrence, I appreciate that. I'm going to talk about your statement, but show me where in the statement it says that you killed your parents. It doesn't. It doesn't talk about the fate of your parents here. You keep talking about the statement answering my question, but the statement does not answer my question. It's the question people want to know. And I think they need to hear it from you.
Yes, there's time for that.
And I think now's the time. Did you kill your parents to put them out of their misery?
My concern for their misery was paramount.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge burden to have to face this coming up. This is a horrible situation.
Sure. So you alleviated that burden.
You're a good question. I have to protect my Fifth Amendment right on this until the right time.
I'm not an attorney. I'm not an officer of the law. You don't have to say that to me.
Oh, yes, but I mean, whatever I say here is going to be held against me elsewhere, right?
Of course, but you probably answer to a higher authority anyway in the long run. So I think you can tell us what happened. Did you kill your parents together at the same time in the same place? What method did you use?
All that kind of stuff I would answer later with that deal with the American people. But I can't, I'm not going to speak about such.
So why come
like
to
that.
A TV station?
But you have a chance to tell the American people
Let's
right now.
Let's pause it for a second.
Yeah.
So many theatrical things here. And this guy has a grandiose complex about
it. Uh-huh. I got that written right here.
Yep. That's the first thing that popped up in my head is this guy, he wants recognition. He knows he knows exactly what he's done. He knows what the consequences are. He's a very smart man, but he wants the attention. He's like a dog begging for a treat right now.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to go in there and say, hey, listen, I killed my parents. And because of these reasons, right? Why even show up?
Yeah.
What's the frickin' point?
For the American people. Because he uses the American people a lot. I mean, that's what I find interesting. And that's where I wrote down, for the American people, grandiose. That was my note. I'm like, this guy's got a grandiose complex. Like, he really, and then to deal with the problems, some of his terminology is rather interesting. And a huge burden to have to face this coming up.
Right. This isn't about them.
It's about him.
It's about him
having to face this huge burden coming up. It doesn't mean it was even upon him. It was coming up. So he was getting ahead of the game.
Hate to say this, but anybody who has parents who are aging, you're going to have to deal with this in your life.
Correct.
One of our viewers, Jennifer, had a couple of good things to say. She said, is he just trying to look crazy so he can plead the insanity? And also, he's not so impaired mentally that he doesn't know to use the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah. And there's a level of glee about this man, which I find rather odd to be, I'm here. But because I think he thinks he's being like an advocate. I think that that's where he's coming from. I think he's on this show thinking, I'm gonna tell my story and people are gonna understand. And the way he was talking, the American people to understand that there needs to be, the laws need to loosen up or something he said earlier. I'm all okay with having more assisted ways of killing yourself if that's what you want to do when you're old and or you're in a very unhealthy state, so you're not having to be a vegetable. But this ain't that. And it seems like he's trying to justify that he made the call here and it was completely above board.
He's not wrong entirely about the problem that we have in this country with our boomers and
sure.
what we're going to be going through and how we're ill-equipped to deal with it. My soon-to-be ex's mom was in a nursing home dealing with dementia, and some of the things that we had to deal with her, and I don't mean anything bad toward her, but the facility that she was in that we were paying, like, I think it was over $9,500 a month. It was subpar at times. So we do have a problem in this country, and maybe that's what he's alluding to, but his remedy is not the correct one.
There's always a little bit of reality, always a little bit of truth in something like this, where it makes you go, okay. And that's how then they pile their bullshit on top of that.
Correct.
And it's like, you can argue that over here, but this part you're trying to connect is not part of the same damn thing.
Right.
From a professional standpoint, since we're in broadcasting all of our lives, thoughts on the interviewer?
It's not bad.
This is
he's going for the kill. He's going for the kill.
Yeah. It's like and he's going to expose. he's going to expose how one local fast food restaurant may be using pets instead of ground beef. That's After Weather and your 7 day.
Do you think this is on his highlight reel if he decides to go to another?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's vying to go to the network. He wants to work for CBS News so bad.
Yeah.
He's your local investigative reporter that gets
Dude, he's the
mimicked
one
in like
night.
Movies.
He's the one with the black light at the hotel looking at the comforter.
Coming up on Six on Your Side, we go to the Motel 6 with a black light. I recognize that as semen over there. You want to know how I recognize that as semen? Because I did a black light in my bedroom last night.
This is not doing some sort of taste testing. So,
that's after sports.
They're going to do the AB challenge to figure out what the bodily fluid is.
Look what I work with here, people.
Let's keep going.
All right.
Please.
Feedback on my statement. Then I can believe that I can tell the truth with uninhibited.
You don't think you're going to get better feedback if you're honest with them? And tell us what happened?
I put things in the right order that have to be in the right order. But it's very important that so far as
exculpatory, I'm going to guess.
Exculpatory material, the police had that statement from my mother regarding what happened to her crossing the Sweet Hot Wolf Road, falling down, you know. And she also had a problem with, she mentioned she was getting lines in her eyes for some reason. There was no, I don't know what that would be.
That was the prelude that helped set things in motion. That started your parents' downhill trend health-wise.
Yes, but also the letter from her to me said, "Do something," to or this is you need to know this in a way that was
your parents asked you to kill them or to take their lives in a merciful fashion.
I think they. Not me to take responsibility for things.
They asked you to take their lives. To do what they couldn't do?
Implicitly, but not explicitly.
So you were just granting their wishes?
My mother, after my sister died, my mother would give me these do not resuscitate things. Mm-hmm. Every few months, if you wanted to die, given her grief for my sister, her daughter,
And you love your parents and you wanted to honor their wishes.
You know, there's something special about our family that we can somehow read each other's minds. Being explicit isn't necessarily. You know, I could complete my grandmother's sentences for her and she would say, So, I mean.
Which?
I could complete my grandmother's sentences.
The context of all this became to bear on me.
Did one parent, did your mom or your dad more so than the other, ask you to take their lives?
They didn't explicitly say that, but they made it clear that they were going downhill.
When it actually happened, when your parents died, did they know what was happening to them?
Oh, yeah.
And they knew it was at your hand?
But yes, no one else.
Right. So they realized what you were doing to them as it happened. They knew that this was it for them, that they were perishing at your hand.
And it was so quick.
How did you do it?
Yeah, I can't talk about that.
Well, you've just told us that
right. It
was at your hand.
Right.
Were there drugs involved? There a suffocation? Was there? You suffocated them. You suffocated your parents.
Well, kinda.
Yeah.
That was the best way to take their lives. Through suffocation.
Basically.
We should have Robin look at this interrogation and give us his thoughts on it.
My father. And
he's doing a pretty good job.
My mother put her head on his chest. And she was there for a few hours. And then I finished her.
I finished her.
Whoa.
Finish him. It's not Mortal Kombat.
No. I didn't know what to do after that. I was thinking what to do. It took me several days to realize I can't do this, I can't do that. Just bury them on the property, and it was wide open sunlight. I remember my sister, she received either a gift of a lamb or a lamb was given to her upon her funeral, but that lamb showed up. I put it on my mother's grave.
What the fuck?
And the police almost handed that out too.
You call it a grave? You bury them in the backyard and you see it as a grave?
Well, I bury them and I put thing around my mother's grave and with
Think he has taxidermy in the basement?
Back to her. I put that there.
Human taxidermy.
What did you think as you were doing it? And as you were taking their lives? What was going through your head?
Not thoughts. Action. Make sure it's done.
I wonder if the McRib is back.
not fool around. Not make a mistake. But, you know, I'm sure the police are going to say, what an incompetent idiot I am on that.
Well,
now you're on a television station doing this.
Did they both pass away peacefully? Did they struggle as you did it?
I would say, a gray area.
The last minute, no.
The last minute.
But they're
when they finally died.
The first five. I think
my father died very quickly. I was surprising quickly.
Surprisingly.
That shocked me.
Oh. Wow. This guy is the poster child of really bad choices across the board, including doing this interview.
Right.
What are you
with
doing?
My mother, that went quickly too.
Did you realize what you were doing, as righteous as you may have thought it was illegal? And
oh yeah,
I remember growing up in this house.
You knew you were.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We have to squeeze the law to fit the humans, not us.
The
humans to fit the law. And we have 40 million boomers. They're all going to suffer a horrible death, typically.
No, they're not.
Like what you just
my mother
did?
Always.
Wow.
Somebody died in their home. She would say, great, the person died with their boots on, instead of going to a hospital and going through a meat processing factory kind of thing.
Jesus
so
Christ.
They were both children of World War II. My mother was born at 42.
I know sometimes my humor is not
toddler.
Good. But do you think he goes to the barber and says,
funerals behind
make me look
the horse
like
and wagon.
Benjamin Franklin.
This is the kind of world she grew up in. My father was age 12.
Going for the Ben look again.
Sorry.
Sorry.
So they had very serious lives. Given the globe, the genocidal British geopolitics, as I call it.
He's justifying this shit every way he can. It's just spewing out, and it makes no sense.
Fooling around on things. They were serious people.
When you were doing this, did you think about the financial ramifications, the fact that you would continue to take their government money?
You know, once that happens, then what do you do?
You stop taking the money.
Yeah.
That's how we got caught.
I mean, the government is pissed because I took the Social Security money and gave it to people who are starving in the Philippines. Okay, then. Be angry about that. But anything, the police know all the money that I have.
Did you really give it to
people
the
to help them? Thousands of dollars. I gave almost, not all the way, all of it away because there was still a lot left.
Nope.
But I gave away, I didn't play with the money, you know, I gave it away. I didn't enrich myself.
I adopted a pet after hearing Sarah McLachlan commercials in the middle of the night.
No, but this is not a kill for money case, is important to say.
Oh, well, that fixes everything. Thank you.
It's just a kill for kill
money. I was helping people before that just fine. So it didn't, the issue of taking my parents' money for other purposes related to that. That doesn't fit. That's why the police, they had a theory going with which we talked about.
Is this Jamie Rake's
on
brother?
Tuesday.
Oh my God.
And they wanted
the
to try
thing.
To say that this was taking their money to give away to other people. But it was that other part, the primary situation.
Someone called that blood money.
Right. And I was giving it away.
But it's still blood money.
Well, it.
Look, Robin Hood, still
you
illegal.
You take somebody's money away, that's blood money. But if you know, what was I supposed to do with this money?
Not take it?
Again, I couldn't tell anyone. The government needs to have an office where you can say, this is something that happened, and here's how it happens, and this is, they need to have an...
You cashed the checks. You didn't have to cash the
checks. Deal
with
these kind of problems in an open way. Everything in this country is hidden away. And this is a societal crisis. Again, 40 million people are going to deal with this, and maybe, you know, a multiple of that, given their friends and family. So, I mean, it's a reality of human experience. I just wanted to say, in 2020, there was this YouTube channel called Tribe of the Fox, and they did a video called The Manor Blunder. And they explained how in the ancient times, they had men who would do this for the elderly.
Uh-oh.
So they wouldn't have to suffer. Of course, the ancient Greeks always believed in dying on the battlefield rather than dying, you know, in a bag of bones, like a bag of bones. So, I mean, culturally, America is totally...
They didn't die on a battlefield, though. It sounds like they died in their beds with a pillow over their faces.
No, but you didn't put it that way.
I mean, it was a battlefield.
Well, right. It's not... I mean, the preference of people of the ancient Greeks was to die on the battlefield rather than die so infirm that you had nothing.
Was it a pillow that you used?
No.
What did you use to suffocate them?
My hands.
For my father, my hand.
Oh, God.
For my mother, a rope.
Oh, what?
Oh, my God. So you strangled her?
Yeah, that would seem better.
It was strangulation, not suffocation?
Well, it's the same. No, denial of oxygen.
Oh,
but
Jesus.
But also blood circulation.
Oh, so you cut off the oxygen to both of them. That was your method.
Yeah.
Now that this has come to light and the police started investigating, do you have any regrets?
I did the right thing for them based on the situation. I did my duty to them as a son. And that's everything fell into place. I don't know how it happened that it all fell into place, but it did. And so no, I don't have, it's a horrible situation to be in.
You think?
One does one's duty and one is done. The issue of regrets, I can't say this. It's a regrettable experience, a regrettable situation. Of course, life is horrible. It has horrible moments in life. But
I just want to make sure I have it correct, because I'm a journalist and facts are important. You used your hand, a single hand, to kill your father?
Right.
Putting it over his nose and you choked him.
Okay. Oh, God.
And you did the same with your mother, but with a rope. You choked her with...
No. Just a rope.
Right. I'm sorry. But I meant you choked her with a rope, though, instead of your hand.
Right.
Okay. Let's pause it for a second.
Are you on any medications today?
That's a great question. God.
That's the golden question right there. You should be.
This is why you can't let your kids live in your fucking basement.
Yeah.
Because this shit will happen.
He's going to find something on YouTube to justify exactly what he wants to do.
It sounds like he's got a lot of us have OCD, but it sounds like he's got a little bit of OCD going on, the way he was talking about things being in their places and stuff earlier. I'm wondering if this is part of it. If this, you know, his weird justification on thinking, well, they're going to die, so we might as well just do this and get them in their place. Now, he had to control the narrative of all this, and it sounds like this may have played a role in his way of thinking. Got to put them in the backyard. Got to put them in their place.
Plenty of sunshine. The lamb came. What the hell was that about?
The lamb. Yeah, that's weird. So I don't know. Was that like a reference, like a stuffed animal or something like that?
I don't know. Or a statue, or if he's seeing things. I'm just, the more he talks, obviously we're sitting here having a little bit of fun with this, but I feel so bad for his parents, the victims.
Yeah.
Even I truly believe that even if his mother wanted him to help her pass, mm-hmm. I doubt it would be with a rope, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, his reference to the lamb, think of the sacrificial lamb. He was sacrificing them. I mean, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, this guy really thinks that he's something special to these parents. You know, he is the prodigal son.
The lamb came to him, and Lorenz Krauss is this guy's name. He's now charged with second degree murder for killing his parents and then burying their bodies in the backyard. And we're watching what he confessed to live on television here in the conference room at CBS 6 in Albany last week. I'll give I'll give the interviewer some credit here. He certainly is getting this out of him. He's doing the work of police pretty well. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of question here.
Do you think the cops said, hey, here's some things you should ask him?
No.
Or the cops? No, you don't think so?
This guy, from what it sounds like, he just showed up at the TV station.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I don't know what the interviewer guy's name is, and I'm not trying to denigrate. I want to call him Herb. He seems like a Herb. It's like Herb Maxwell and the latest on the Six Team Investigates. You know, he's probably sitting at his cubicle, and then they're like, that Krause guy he's in the entry right now. He wants to talk to somebody. And then they said, well, the conference room is open. And then they grabbed a photographer and they ran in there and they did this. I mean, I can't imagine that he had a ton of time to prep.
No.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, do you call the cops and say, hey, this guy's here, blah, blah, blah. Or do you just do the interview and see what happens?
Well, they did.
Somebody called and said, hey.
They did, because the cops were in the lot. And they arrested him in the parking lot right after. Because I don't think this was live on the air. I think they recorded this and then let them know, hey, this is what's going on. But
Jennifer says that from what she read, he called other TV stations first, but decided to go there because he knew Herb was a fair interviewer. So,
well, I feel bad. It's probably not even Herb.
Probably not.
I don't know what his name is, but yeah, he got his shirt. He came in dressed for the occasion too. He's got the shorts on. He's ready to leave the series. Let's keep watching.
I need to know if he was on medication. Let's get the answer.
And that's where we're picking up here on this is he just asked, are you on any medications right now? Let's see.
No. Well, no.
Nothing? Is your mind clear? And
I'm just a little sleepy, but I'm trying to keep my eyes open. That's okay.
Okay. But you have no mental disabilities that are affecting what you're saying here today?
Correct.
You're confident in what you said and clear of mind as you say all this?
Yeah.
Okay.
How to proceed? I hope that you can put this on YouTube, the whole thing.
I'm sure we'll put this on. And are you ready to face the consequences now with the police and the authorities?
Yes, but I would like the American people to also read my statement so that everybody can have something to appeal to on it. I know my statement is, you know, I'm not really concerned about the police or the courts or anything. There's something much bigger in life, and we have to deal with the big things in life.
Okay. But again, just to be certain, in 2017, you took your father's life.
Correct.
And then moments later, or a short time later, you took your mother's life on that same day.
Right. But well, see, that's the thing. It was late at night, and it was like late evening on one day into early morning night.
So within hours of each other.
Right.
What did you do between the taking of your father's life and the taking of your mother's life?
Trying to remember, because there was.
I had a ham sandwich. Yeah. Kmart one.
I don't
Kmart
did you sit with your mother? Were the three of you together in one room?
Before they died, my father was here, my mother was here, and I told them what happened to me and my sister after she died. My sister died in the house too, because when she died from the cancer. But she died in May of 1988, and then in that fall I was doing my 11th grade now then, and there was a. I had to do a paper in a big test. So I did an overnighter to do that test and then tried to do a second overnighter to finish that paper or something. And I crawled into bed at like 2:45 in the morning. And sometime then after, I popped out of my body. And I started floating up to the ceiling.
Here we go.
I saw the nooks and crannies.
Here we go.
I acknowledged that the nooks and crannies of the ceiling. And then the whole world disappeared. And I was in this big black void. And things was rushing by. And then I saw my sister in a doorway in profile. You know, after that, it was like a near-death experience kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told my parents about that experience. And I told them go find Rosa. My sister's name was Rosa. And so my father just died quickly, so quickly.
God, the dots are everywhere.
And, you know.
No, we don't know.
And then again, just take me through, after your mother died, how long was it before you buried them? Approximately.
2 or 3 days, that's.
So your parents' deceased bodies were in your house with you for 2 or 3 days. And then you decided you had to do something to cover up your crimes or to properly bury them and send them on their way?
Right. I mean, I needed to, I had to bury them.
Was the burial to cover up your crime? You didn't want to be found out.
Right, of course. I mean, what to do?
What to do?
I have to go shopping today.
The thing to do just occurred to me. Oh, she can fit here and he can fit there. And then...
fit there?
Just do it. And it was done. And, you know, that.
Have you lived with fear of being found out all these years?
I struggle to do other things with my life to try to make something great out of it. Because if that's what I know, that they would not want me to rot away to death in prison for this. I have a duty to everyone to make the best out of my life.
Your mom's wishing plan B existed.
And do what's best
then.
For the people of Germany, really. I call it being a Volkssaver. It took me years to understand all this, but
what?
I learned a lot in the last eight years that I never knew before, and I self-educated in so many ways. So I did not. The issue of being caught is, I was able to buy time to solve huge problems. And that's worth it in many ways. To the American people, to me, and to them. To their legacy, to their, you know.
Do you think people are going to accept this rationale?
They probably won't.
And feel for you?
What they need to feel is for their own parents. They're going to face the same problems, and they're going to have to find solutions ahead of time, or else they're going to end up like me.
Here's
that's
what
reality.
Not to do.
Are you telling other people right. that when their parents start ailing, they should take their lives?
They have a duty to their parents to bring them comfort
at
the end of life when they believe.
With a rope.
They need you.
But again, just to be clear, you took both your parents' lives.
Yes.
And you realize that you're probably going to face the criminal consequences.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you're probably going to be arrested.
Well.
Charged and...
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're going to... it's a process. You have to go through the process. How it will come out at the end, I don't know.
Oh, but we know.
To influence that process, I would beg the American people to read that statement.
All right. Lawrence, thank you for being with us.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
And there's some donuts in the green room.
You good, Stella? I think we covered all the bases. You know, is there anything else you want to say?
A statement to the American people. Is that what I wrote? That's what you wrote down?
I wrote statement to the public. Because you said that.
Yeah, yeah.
You said that to me.
Right. A statement to the public. What was the other option to call it?
Manifesto.
Not a manifesto.
Just a statement to the public. It is a bit rambling, a bit hard to follow.
Right, but that's why I say I need the conversation, more conversation over here.
But do you think people are going to want to talk about this or the fact that you
Absolutely.
Took your parents' lives?
Right, they're going to talk about that. That's what they want to know. It's just reality. So, I mean, they'll, you know, it's a horrible situation to be in. Many other people are going to face it.
But are other people going to take the same actions you took?
Probably not, because they don't have the same kind of sense of duty to their parents as
oh,
I did.
Oh, wow. That's why we need state hospitals. Keep people like this away from everyone else.
I owe it to you to do it, as opposed to right and wrong, the law, etc. These are different ways of being.
No.
And of course, the law in this country does not allow for this way of being.
But are you truly confident that's what your parents wanted?
I know my parents are harsh in certain situations. And if my mother could see where she was going, She would never want to.
But you said they didn't expressly ask to be killed.
Right.
Are you sure you did what they wanted to be done?
I think that they would have increasingly wanted me, would have wanted me to help them if their situation got any worse.
So that day in what you think was August of 2017, what made that day the day?
I think it was a colder evening and the windows were closed.
Oh, so God.
It was not a,
lit a fire, turned on some Kenny G.
It was just no noise or something like that.
So you were safe from detection?
Right, right, of course. Because it was the summer, right? It's usually hot and windows are open, but it was kind of cold that tip.
So because it was a little chillier that night, you decided to take your parents' lives.
The that note she gave me was sometime in May or June, I think. When she said she fell, it was May or June or...
Chuck, I was watching the 7 day like for the best option.
So this has been... my father already told me he has double vision. He had a hearing aid. He couldn't hear anymore. His eyes were going. He couldn't drive.
Oh, I hope
my
not.
Mother, I knew, was not using her turn signals properly.
Oh, so
losing their independence.
Then get rid of her.
And even awareness of the world.
Then. Because she can't use her turn signals.
Breakdown.
Get
Done.
Rid of her.
Most people, I think I'm safe in saying, would not take their parents' life because they couldn't use their turn signals properly.
By the way, that's Greg Floyd. So
that's a short right there, Todd.
Yep. But again, it's not just that. It's one marker of decline.
Oh, then I'm out because I didn't get turn signals yesterday.
That's most people in Arkansas.
Again, she had a brother and a sister who were going through Alzheimer's. By then, one died and her brother was going to die. And maybe 2 years later, and he was in a terrible situation. So... the other aunt of mine was I think even in an even worse situation because of Alzheimer's. But I never visited her because I mean women tend to want to be remembered for their beauty when they're in their young. So I didn't visit her for that reason, but I also
never abandoned her.
Knew enough to visit her where she was or anything like that.
But again, you feel like it was your role to, I mean, some might call it playing God, deciding on their lives. It was fair for you to do that?
So if the decision is going to be made, it's going to be a playing God decision. And truly, you know, we lived through this COVID thing. Cuomo is, there's probable cause
what?
To arrest Andrew Cuomo for thousands of deaths because it's on the record that he sent people into nursing homes for a certain reason. And there was a report that people died as a consequence. That's probable cause. But he
Andrew Cuomo did not put his hand around right. someone's neck. But Andrew Cuomo did not put a rope around
right,
someone's
right, right.
neck.
That he would be culpable of criminally negligent no. homicide.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So what are you guilty of? Are you guilty of murder?
You could say AIDS-related homicide
no.
or something like that.
What?
But it's not in the law. But it
AIDS
should be.
Related
somehow,
homicide?
Be. And
I
maybe
think
it will
said
be.
Age.
And maybe.
Oh.
If it's accepted at some point, because there's 40 million people, they'll want it to be accepted. You know, this will blow over. I'm willing to make restitution to the family. That's why I mentioned that other type of legal system.
Restitution. Lawrence, this is not going to blow over.
I know.
You killed your parents.
There is that situation, but to me, it's not very important. Politics is subject to change. Everything is negotiable. Donald Trump has proven that everything is negotiable in this country.
Oh, my God.
And if you have a good idea and you can help people, you can get a better outcome.
Did you ever kill anyone else?
No way, anyone.
Did you ever commit physical harm to anyone else?
No.
This was it. It was your mother and your father. No one else in your family ever suffered at your hand?
Oh, no.
Just wanted to check.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Lord, can I ask you a question? Why are the neighbors told us on the scene your parents were under the impression that you were going to take them on a trip? Did you tell them that you were going to take them on a trip before?
No, but I asked my mother if she wanted to go with me to for a ride to Grafton Park. We'd like to go there.
I think they told people that they were possibly moving to Germany.
That's what I said.
Did that? You said that?
Yeah.
You said that to people, not your parents.
Right, right, right.
So that was
people ask me, where are my parents? I tell them, I think my mother's from Germany, and my father was born in Yugoslavia. And then after they could escape communism, they went to Germany. And then my father came to this country.
Jesus Christ.
And then my mother in the 50s.
But there were neighbors who said that they had been told by your parents, oh, we think we're going to move to Germany. Are they mistaken? Are the neighbors remembering that incorrectly? Or could your parents have said that?
They could have said that.
Could they have known something was coming?
Possibly.
You ever give them the impression that maybe you would just move them somewhere?
No.
No, okay.
No. Right, that's news to me, to you.
Okay. I think we're done.
Okay.
Thank you, Lawrence.
I appreciate it very much.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
So,
you can make that all available on YouTube, even on a private website for me, so I can have it trusted right here.
It will be available.
I'll be happy.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
So this guy.
That's undiagnosed mental illness running wild.
Yes. He's got articles out there about. I'm reading some of this about Cuomo. He's really got a bug up his butt about Andrew Cuomo, and he's written several articles about it.
Where are they published?
They are published on I opened it up. Now I'm concerned I've got a virus, so don't go there. RenegadeTribune.com. And there's a whole bunch of Hitler things. There's looks like he might be an anti-Semite, just off first glance. Just so, first glance. Didn't dive
it's hard
into
to
it.
Yeah.
It's so generally an all-around good guy is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would not want to swipe on this guy.
So his parents escaped communism and then they fell at the hands of their mutant son that did this. I saw an interesting comment. Somebody said it's probably what Koberger would sound like with his excuses.
Good point.
And you're probably right, because he's all over the board, and he's justifying everything with these little nuggets here and there that don't really fill in the blanks, but in his mind they do, and everyone should just accept them as fact. And if you don't, well, then you're crazy. Because he said it, and this is what it is. He has a justification for everything. He didn't visit his ailing aunt because women don't want to be they want to be remembered for their beauty. So he just basically is like, well, she can die over there.
She's got a couple age spots. Chuck that bitch out the door.
Just quick to discard, very quick to discard.
Can you imagine what he'd do if he had a dog that had a cold?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I can't imagine. I don't want to know what his history with pets are.
I don't want to know what else is in the backyard.
No kidding.
I wonder if they did any investigation on that. But the fact that he literally said my mother wasn't using her turn signal, it's like, come on.
He's looking for anything he can to justify what he did since 2017, and he's got a list in his mind.
But he's had plenty of time to think about it. Holy crap.
Because he doesn't have one solid answer for this. He's created a cumulative list that he believes all these little things added up equal justification for what he did.
And so, again, this just hit me. They were killed in 2017, but he's referencing COVID. That was 2020. He did this 3 years before COVID. So what correlation is there at all?
He's trying to say that if Cuomo is not responsible and held accountable for deaths with COVID, then he shouldn't be held accountable for the deaths of his parents. That's what I took from it.
I get that. That's what he's trying to say, I think. It's like, I know you are, but what am I?
Yep.
Wow. This is a very, very sick man. But Tony, to your point about the state hospitals, I'm not sure that prison is the best place for somebody like this.
No, he's mentally ill. This is a mentally ill human being.
Yes.
And he probably has been his whole life.
Well, and especially referencing something that happened when he was 16.
Yeah.
He's been traumatized from a very early age.
Yeah.
this and is probably didn't get help.
This is probably a mental illness that's in him, and then add trauma on top of it, and this is what you get.
Yeah.
And this, there's apparently, obviously, no one in his life close enough to him that was able to get him help that he, but what do you do? What do you do with someone like this? Unless you have the money to go put him in a hospital, nothing's going to happen. I mean, there's nothing you can do. This, he would end up, if he didn't take the money from his parents, he'd probably end up homeless.
Yeah.
Which
I can't imagine he held down a job.
No, I can't imagine he'd be capable of holding down a job. This is not a person who's capable of doing that. This is one of those where this is a sick individual. I won't say evil. I'd say sick. There's something mentally wrong with him. He believes what he did was right. This is like, it's not Lori Vallow-ish, but it is in the level of he genuinely believes that he did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't, his parents weren't old, I don't think he'd be out trying to kill people. I don't think he is a person that's out trying to, but in his mind, he thinks you're checking the box of this person is, I don't want them to suffer, he thinks he's doing the right thing.
He was obsessed with alternative currencies and cryptocurrencies. He graduated from college in 94, received an MBA, if this is correct, if all of these things that I just found, and he has a LinkedIn as a co-founder of Pinda Technology Incorporated in Troy, New York, and a valedictorian.
According to who? Him?
That's the second time I've seen valedictorian.
He could be very intelligent, but that doesn't mean he's going to be socially intelligent by any means.
Well, and if you've got mental illness, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are. Everything gets skewed.
Yeah, his life is a cognitive distortion. Everything is.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, think if somebody like this, let's just say he was traumatized at an early age. If he had received the care that he needed, somebody that's this smart could do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he doesn't see himself as evil. He goes to sleep at night thinking he did the right things. This is somebody who could have done some good in the world.
Yeah, there's no punishing him that's going to do any good.
No, no.
He is someone who needs to be in a mental health care facility and never let out.
And he was running for president in 2020, from what I just saw.
So he's with it. He's again, this is why I feel like if we could redo the idea of state mental hospitals in a humane, responsible manner, people like this need to go there.
Yeah.
Because they're not okay. They're not safe in society, clearly. And who knows? I mean, had it not been for the money, who's the next person he was going to deem that should be gone?
Yeah. You know, the neighbor he saw going to the grocery store, and that bitch didn't use the turn signal. It was her time to go.
Hey, Mrs. Kreb, I saw you didn't do the turn signal. Can I help you with your groceries? And then before you know it, you know, there's fucking fishing line around her neck.
He prefers rope, Tony. He's got plenty of rope. He had to buy that at the Home Depot.
I don't know. He seems versatile. He did the hand with the dad. He did rope with the mom. I could see him doing some really high grade fishing line at some point and going, it's a little messy. That cuts. You know,
I also heard he likes variety. So he'd be using different methods, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
God.
Well, there you go. That's just so scary. Oh my gosh. I can't believe how messed up that whole thing was. The whole thing.
It was very unsettling.
That interview was unbelievable.
They walk amongst us.
God, I've
been saying it all along. That's why I have weapons in my home everywhere.
It's making more sense why Stacy has a knife in every room.
Yes.
Just in case.
Just in case. And I'm not shitting you. I don't think I used a turn signal yesterday. So maybe we need to talk after the show.
Oh, we will. We will.
Well, if you don't see Stacy anymore, it's either Todd's backyard or mine. Bring a shovel.
Well, we have to make sure that it's a little bit colder out. It's 80 degrees today.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's like 70 degrees here today, so I'm safe.
Yeah. We got to wait for a chilly day. And yeah, then it'll good. Be justified.
Good for a few more weeks.
Oh, my God. Tell us what your thoughts are in the comment section on this guy on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, so you don't miss any of the craziness that we're watching for you every single day right here at the Hidden Killers podcast. I should make a note. There is a new documentary that is out as of today, as of recording, 9/29 of 25. The Ellen Greenberg documentary on Hulu is now available. And I know I sent you guys a message earlier saying, let's all watch this. I gotta, it's, what is it called? Hulu. Cause there's a, what is it called? Death in Apartment 603. What happened to Ellen Greenberg? It's a three-parter. It's going to be interesting. Episode one is called Homicide or Suicide. Episode two, the strangest 911 call I've ever heard. And then the Greenbergs versus the city of Philadelphia, I believe. There hasn't really been a lot of big docs on this. Nancy Grace has a book that's coming out on it, too. So I hope some light is finally shed on this case, and maybe something actually happens with some pressure being put on it. Because if you've watched that case at all, you know just how bizarre it is. So we're going to watch that, and then I think on Wednesday we'll talk about it in greater detail. So if you'd like to watch along with us, then you'll know what we're talking about coming up on Wednesday. That's available on Hulu right now. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Until next time, for Stacey and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.